the more compassion we have towards animals, the more compassion we're going to have towards other people.
If you can value them all, you really value yourself as well.
So even if you don't care about animals, the things we do that hurt animals end up hurting ourselves.
It's almost kind of a dominion type issue where we feel we need to control everything.
Dominion means stewardship, to take care of.
What would a cow think about satisfying our habit? The challenge lies with looking at suffering from the perspective of the person or individual suffering.
Welcome to Voices for the Animals on KBOO Portland with your host, Courtney Scott. The Animal Liberation Conference is coming up this month in Berkeley, California, and Almira Tanner, a core organizer with the Grassroots Animal Rights Network Direct Action Everywhere, is here to tell us all about it. In her role as organizer, Almira coordinates Direct Action Everywhere, protests and campaigns, and leads the planning committee for the Animal Liberation Conference. She is currently facing 7 felony charges in Sonoma County as a result of her activism. Welcome, Almira.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, so, you know, that last sentence probably piqued a lot of interest here. So tell us, what exactly are the criminal charges that you're facing with your work with Direct Action Everywhere?
Yeah, so I am being charged along with multiple other activists in DXC for, I believe, 2 different actions that took place in 2018. One was in May at last year's Animal Liberation Conference, and one was in September of last year. And I received a letter in the mail about a month after being arrested in September, which listed out a lot of different charges. There's 12 different charges, and 7 of those are felonies, and they range from everything from conspiracy to burglary, and my favorite one, which is grand theft of vegetables and fruits, because I believe under that section of the penal code, I guess, you know, quote unquote, poultry is classified under that vegetables and fruit section. So, you know, these are pretty serious charges, burglary and conspiracy. And all we did in those actions was try to help animals who were suffering and who needed veterinary care, who needed food and water. So while I think they, on one hand, might seem a little scary, I think this is a really good thing for the animal rights movement because we will be able to have this conversation in a court of law. And I think the public is going to side with us when they see that all we were trying to do was to help animals versus large corporations like Amazon, for example, who sells, you know, the bodies of these chickens on their website, you know, is just a giant corporation whose main motivation is to make a lot of money.
Right.
So I think that we're going to come out victorious on this one.
Yeah, I think it'll gain a lot of press for it. So that's always good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can get them to reclassify chickens as animals. It's kind of bizarre,
yeah,
isn't it? They don't
even
classify them under the USDA. They're not even considered an animal. So
it's really ridiculous.
I bet they didn't know they were a vegetable.
Yeah, I bet you that. I think the Sonoma County Sheriff and Animal Control and all the government agencies in that county are learning a lot about animal welfare and the various penal codes that apply to animals because we're forcing them to get an education on that.
Exactly. So good job getting arrested.
Thank
you. I don't know if you want to repeat that, but anyway, so now just give us a little more information about who exactly Direct Action Everywhere is and what they do. We did have Dani Rukin on a while back, and she's a local organizer here for Direct Action. But remind our audience, you know, what Direct Action Everywhere is and, you know, what kind of actions you do take part in.
Well, Direct Action Everywhere is a grassroots network of animal rights activists, and we're based in the Bay Area, which is where I am, but like you mentioned, we have chapters all over the world, including in Portland, and our mission is to achieve revolutionary social and political change for animals in one human generation. So we want to change the way our society views other animals, and we also want to create like political and legislative change to protect these animals. And we do that in a lot of different ways. I think what we're most known for is protests, like disruptive protests, as well as open rescues, where we go into farms and document the conditions and rescue animals. But we also do a huge amount of work around community building, developing strong communities who are willing to take this bold action together. But that doesn't get seen as much by the press. But those are some of our tactics.
All right. So you mentioned one human generation. Now, exactly how long is that?
Well, I mean, you know, we have what we call our 40-year roadmap. And of course, we don't know if this is going to take, you know, 39 years or 43 years or the exact, but it's really important, I think, when we have these really big visions to see animal liberation. That's mm-hmm. such a dream to some people. It's hard to know where exactly, what exactly we do to get there. So we mm-hmm. have a roadmap that people can look up. It's a, you know, document that people can leave comments on and read that outlines what we think is our strategy for getting there.
Great.
And so we kind of say one human generation is 40 years, but obviously if it takes 32 or something like that, we'd be very happy.
Yeah, cut down that human generation. So
exactly.
Great. So let's move on to the conference now. So it's described on your website, the Facebook page, as the largest grassroots animal rights conference in North America. So that's pretty amazing right there. So first, what difference is there, if any, between an animal liberation conference and the other animal rights conferences, which, as you know, there's one in L.A. and I think one in D.C. every year?
Yeah, I think, you know, the National Animal Rights Conference that you're referencing, it goes back and forth from West Coast to East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. I've been there. I think one of the things that distinguishes the Animal Liberation Conference is a strong focus on taking action. So we do have trainings and talks like other conferences do, but within the actual week of the conference, we go and we take action for animals. So last year we had a Cube of Truth, which is a outreach style action that was really pioneered by a group called Anonymous for the Voiceless. We had an all-day vigil where we bore witness, similar to what the SAVE movement does a lot. We had a big march in San Francisco, and then of course we also went and rescued animals from a factory farm right in the middle of this conference. And I don't think there are a lot of other conferences out there where you can go and directly take action. And another big difference is that it's a whole 7 days. And that seems like a long time, but it goes by really fast. And I think that we really get people to have these immersive experiences in activism where for an entire week, you're surrounded by people who, you know, they believe the same things that you do. All the food is vegan. You don't have to ask any questions about that stuff. And it really gives people a picture of what the world could be like if we all took action and created this anti-speciesist world that we dream of. And that's one of the reasons why I think the Animal Liberation Conference is really transformational for people. But I don't want to say that other conferences aren't great. And I've been to the Animal Rights Conference as well and had a great time there. But
right.
I would say those are the main differences.
Good. Thanks for separating that. It's good to know what the difference is. And I just wanted to know, what are some of the other sponsors besides Direct Action Everywhere for this conference?
Well, we are the people who are organizing the event, but it isn't really branded necessarily as a DXC conference, and we welcome people from all sorts of different organizations, as well as people who aren't vegan yet or they've never done activism. So we have representatives coming from Anonymous for the Voiceless, from the SAVE movement, from PETA, Mercy for Animals, as well as other climate change groups such as Extinction Rebellion and Greenpeace and the Climate Defense Project. But they're not necessarily like official sponsors. We don't have that beyond, you know, the awesome vegan companies who donate food to us. But they're all participating in the conference in various ways.
I understand. Cool. So I see that Amy Goodman and Glenn Greenwald are two of the speakers who will discuss freedom of the press. And I would think that would be an important subject for animal rights activists who work on revealing the dark side of animal industries. So I was impressed to see that on your roster of workshops.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
I'm really excited to have Amy Goodman come and then Glenn Greenwald come again. He came last year and it was really, really incredible for the animal rights movement to have him come to the conference because, you know, he had written about animal rights before he came,
mm-hmm.
but afterwards he has made animal rights a much larger focus of his work.
Oh, that's
and he's
great.
Such an incredible journalist that has a huge reach. So that, you know, can be really transformational, and he can reach a lot of people who might not be specifically out there looking for animal rights content. So I hope that the same thing will happen with Amy Goodman. For folks who don't know, she is the executive producer and host of Democracy Now!, which is a really commonly listened to left-wing or kind of
right.
progressive daily news show. So
yeah, they know about that here at KBOO, believe me.
Yeah, I can imagine.
They play it every day.
You all stream it.
So,
yeah, exactly.
So anyway, great.
Every week she was covering animal rights issues. That would be so incredible.
Yes, absolutely. So that's a good catch to get those two in there. So who are some of your other featured speakers? You can just give a highlight. Well, I know there's quite a few.
Yeah, it's a week long, so we have a lot of different people coming. I'm really excited that Dr. Bernard Lafayette is coming to the conference. He worked with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in the civil rights movement and is going to be coming to talk to us about his time organizing in the civil rights movement as well as leading a nonviolence training. So he, you know, he's a veteran of social justice. I'm really excited for him to be there. We also, of course, have our co-founder, Wayne Shung, who is speaking, and, you know, other people who, like, I don't know if folks are familiar with, like, Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. She was a cattle farmer, basically, and changed her farm.
Rowdy Girl,
sanctuary.
She's
going to be there, as well as the founders for Anonymous for the Voiceless. And then if folks have heard of the group Extinction Rebellion, they have really burst onto the scene in the last year. They organized a massive scale civil disobedience effort in London to get the UK to pay attention to the climate crisis. And their co-founder, Roger Hallam, will be speaking to the conference. He's going to be calling in. He's all the way across in Europe, but he's going to be talking about how we can take nonviolent direct action to halt, you know, mass extinction and climate change. So there's a lot of other people coming as well, but that's our highlight.
Are there going to be any speakers
that program?
Right. Are there going to be any speakers who address wildlife issues or like zoo and circus or any of those other animal issues?
Well, I think that Roger will probably be addressing the like the wildlife issue in the sense that climate change is creating mass chaos for animals who live in the wild. Mm-hmm. And we have a big focus on our conference on the fur ban. So I'm not sure if people know, but California right now is in the process of banning the sale of fur in the entire state. It's almost about to be voted on in the full assembly. And if we do that, we would be the first state in the whole country to wholesale ban like a class of animal products, which should be huge, not just for the animals who are exploited in the fur industry, but also like setting a precedent to ban other types of exploitation. So that is going to be, we have a couple sessions on how people can contribute to that campaign as well as lead fur ban campaigns in their cities. And I know that Portland has a fur ban campaign right now as well. So I think that's going to be also addressing, you know, animals that are exploited in our society, but kind of not for food.
Mm-hmm. So, but none about captive animals per se.
I don't think so. I'm trying to look at the schedule, but not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay. Well, thank you for that information. We're probably coming up on a break pretty soon, so I'm just going to say right now to everybody out there, stay tuned. We're listening to Voices for the Animals on KBOO Portland with our special guest, Almira Tanner, from the Animal Liberation Conference. So hold on one second. We're going to have a brief music interlude. Welcome back to Voices for the Animals with our special guest, Almira Tanner, organizer for the Animal Liberation Conference, being held from May 29th to June 4th in Berkeley, California. So, Almira, first of all, did I get those dates right? I know you said 7 days, so that's 7 days,
May
right?
29th to June 4th.
Okay,
yep.
Just want to make sure we're accurate there. So, Almira, do you see a growing concern and progress for animal rights?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, I was just talking earlier about the potential ban on fur in the entire state of California. And I think even a couple years ago, the thought of that happening was really unfathomable. Like, people thought that you would be ridiculous to say that California could ban the sale of fur. And now it's looking like this is probably going to happen in 2019. And I think a lot more people are starting to realize you know, how their choices in their life and our society impacts other animals. And it's a really great time, I think, to be an animal rights activist, because we keep seeing mass actions all over the world where people are going into farms. There was just one a couple days ago in the Netherlands. Activism is happening everywhere, and it is exciting to see all of that taking place.
Good. Yeah, I just saw something on Facebook that there was a veg fest in Australia, and they had 15,000 people come.
Wow.
And they actually showed it on the media. It was like on major media story there. Maybe it was Sydney. I'm trying to think. I think it was probably Sydney. But that, I thought that was like triple the number that come to Portland. So that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, Australia has had some really incredible actions for animals in the last few months, too. And I know the documentary Dominion has been has had a huge impact on Australia and their views towards other animals.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that. I've heard of the film, but I haven't seen it. So
it's pretty graphic. I think, you know, it's important that we see what's going on, but it's definitely not easy to watch.
Oh, it's sort of like, what was that other one that was really hard to watch?
Earthlings.
Mm-hmm. That was very
tough.
Yeah,
I would say it's similar.
It's similar to that. Okay.
Much newer.
Well, so that's brave of all those people to watch that. Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So moving on. So what do you think are some of the, you mentioned this progress. What are some of the biggest challenges? I know there's many, but what are some of the biggest challenges in your opinion that remain for animal rights?
Well, I think as the animal rights movement gains strength and momentum, the pushback and the repression that we are going to see is just going to grow. So these giant corporations and governments are not going to just roll over really easily and accept our progress. They're going to fight back. And we know this from other social justice movements. And the ways that they fight back are often, you know, very surreptitious. They cause infighting in communities. They slander activists and create rumors. They tell people that they're going to, you know, quote unquote, snitch on them and all of this. And I think we're going to see some of that. We already see some of it. If people go to the website activistfacts.com, I believe, I'm not sure if it's .com or .org, but this is a website that is set up by the Center for Consumer Freedom. They are an anti-animal rights group, and they, it sounds great, you know, Center for Consumer Freedom, but they are not actually out there for the animals at all. They want to shut down animal rights activists, and right now DXC is on their front page. So we are definitely a target, and I know a lot of other animal rights groups are targets as well. So we just need to have really strong values, a really strong community, so that we don't let infighting tear us apart. And I know that that is something that a lot of people deal with when they are an activist, is fighting in the community. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of our biggest challenges.
Yes, and you also have to be aware of infiltrators. I'm sure you must know that.
Absolutely.
It's pretty common, actually.
Has sent agents to PETA's SeaWorld campaign and lots of other groups. So I think we should be very aware and vigilant that this could be happening in our community, but we also don't want to be paranoid. So it's a fine balance.
Yes, yeah. So what do you think that these organizations and yourself hope to achieve from the conference?
Well, I think, you know, getting to know each other in person is really invaluable. A lot of times our communications are done online, and that's when misunderstandings can happen, when people fight with each other. But being in the same room, collaborating, have an understanding of shared values. And I also think having an understanding of the importance of taking nonviolent direct action. I think often we see people a little bit afraid of taking bold action for animals, and they want to mostly just be the quiet vegan. And we want to show people that, you know, even though these tactics aren't always popular in the public, they are very effective. And if we can come to understand that together as animal rights activists, I think we can do a lot more effective action and have a lot fewer arguments online. So I hope that that's what comes out of the conference, as well as just, you know, the actions that we take during the week.
Right. It sounds like there are a lot of good workshops. This one caught my eye. Who's getting arrested? Why getting arrested was the best thing that ever happened to me. I think you kind of addressed that at the beginning there. So in other words, is that the answer you would say most people would say because it's bringing the issues out, I think is what you had mentioned?
Yeah, and I think it really shows that people are willing to sacrifice, that we see that this movement is important. It gets a lot of media attention. We can highlight the differences between the nonviolent activists and maybe the violent industries. So my co-defendant Priya, as well as some other activists, are giving that talk. So I think it's going to be really great.
Great. Yeah. Did you want to mention a few other workshops? I know you kind of mentioned a few of them, but we have time here. So if you want to just talk about a few other conference workshops that are highlights of the conference, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, they see the investigations and rescues that we do, and they want to know how they can do that, and that we're going to have a lot of trainings on how to do those open rescues and those investigations, especially on the first day of the conference. So if you are interested in that, I would recommend people come on the first day. And then another thing that we're doing is really gearing people up to take coordinated action all around the world later in the year. So we want to use the Animal Liberation Conference as a training ground to prepare communities to take really bold action. We're not exactly sure when, maybe October or November, to push for support for an animal bill of rights. And we know that's our ultimate goal, is for animals to have rights that are maybe even reflected in the Constitution, for example. And that's not going to happen this year, but we want to start asking for it this year. And so if people are interested in being part of this campaign, we call it the Roses Law Campaign, named after a chicken who we rescued named Rose. Do come to the conference. There's going to be a lot of different trainings. We're going to start identifying organizers and start having communication with all these people so that, you know, come, let's say, November, you know, one day there's just massive protests all over the world, all asking for the same thing, which is an animal bill of rights. And I think that could be really, really newsworthy and get a lot of people thinking and get a lot of politicians thinking about maybe it's time that they start supporting animal rights.
Right. So are you in touch with Steve Wise from the National Non-Human Rights Project? He's suing for three elephants in Connecticut.
I have been following his work. It's really exciting, and I know that he is trying to get personhood for, you know, he's, like you mentioned, the elephants, and also trying with, I believe, some chimpanzees before. And
right.
So I think that I'm really excited to see how that goes. I've watched one of the documentaries that he was featured in.
Yeah, so it just really might be
incredible.
Good to combine forces there is what I was thinking. So what was one of the highlights for you of the conference last year, and what do you expect it to be for you this year?
Well, last year on the last day of the conference, we had about 500 people there, and we went to an egg farm not too far from here in Sonoma County. And, you know, I think about 150 people walked onto the property, and the rest stayed on the sidewalk. And we were able to rescue 37 hens from there. And in the process, 40 people got arrested. Those 37 hens are still living. They're living their good lives at sanctuaries today. And that was definitely the highlight for me last year, just seeing those animals being walked out of those barns, probably going outside for the first time in their life, is really incredible. And I don't know exactly what's going to happen this year, but I think we hope to top that. So I really do encourage everybody who is coming to stay till the very end so we can take really bold action for animals.
Great. So it sounds like you got a lot going on there. So the last part of the conference is going to be this march in San Francisco. Is that correct? On June 1st? Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's not right at the end. It's pretty much in the middle of the conference, but this is our...
Oh, you're right. June 1st is not the end. You're right.
But yeah, it's the Animal Liberation March. We are starting in San Francisco at 1 p.m. It's going to be really family-friendly. You know, people aren't going to get arrested at the march, so do come. And we are going to be asking for, you know, what animals deserve, which is freedom and justice, and also showing our support for the fur ban in California. So there's lots of information. If you just look up Animal Liberation March San Francisco on Facebook, you can find out about it. And we hope we have way over 1,000 people there.
Great. And do you know yet where it's going to start in San Francisco?
It's on UN Plaza, which is very close to the Civic Center Plaza Bar.
UN Plaza, Civic Center. Okay. Well, great. That sounds like a really exciting conference. I really appreciate you coming on to talk to us about this today.
Thanks so,
so
much.
So we still have a few minutes. I'm going to give you like another 2 minutes. If you want to just tell us something that you think the audience should know or some action item you want to share, you have about 2 minutes. So why don't you go for that?
Sure. So if people are interested in coming to the conference, it is not too late to register. You can go to dxe.io/register and find out there. We also have rates for people who are low income or who need their fee waived, because we are trying to make this as accessible as possible to people. And I know that sometimes it takes a little bit to travel, you know, that costs money, and unfortunately we can't support that. But I do hope a lot of people still come. You're also able to register at the door, so if you want to do that, you can. And yeah, I'm really excited just to see everybody come together. If you can't make it to this conference, but you are still interested in organizing for Rose's Law campaign, like the campaign that I was talking about for the Animal Bill of Rights, you can. We're really encouraging people to come to the conference so that they can learn specific skills. But you can just go to our website and sign up to our mailing list, or shoot us an email and we can get you plugged in for that. And that's, like, you know, pretty much the main things I wanted to talk about for the conference. But for people who, you know, are just generally interested in animal rights too, I would encourage them to support the efforts to ban fur in Portland, since that's where most of your listeners probably are, because having a lot of cities ban fur will create this domino effect where, right, I think we could eventually ban it across the entire country. And that just sets a really strong precedent for banning other types of animal products, like circuses, like you mentioned,
mm-hmm,
or experimentation on animals. You know, the reason that they're banning fur in these cities is because of ethical reasons. So we have a strong precedent that we can ban other products that are unethical, right, or other practices that are unethical. So
yes,
really excited to see that pass.
Good.
As well.
Thank you so much, Almira. We're getting towards the end now, so thank you for being our guest and informing us about the Animal Liberation Conference from May 29th to June 4th in Berkeley, California. And thanks to all of you for tuning in to Voices for the Animals on KBOO Portland. We also want to let you know about the first, well, I don't know if it's the first, it's the National Animal Rights Day in Portland on June 2nd in Holiday Park, and it starts at 11:30 a.m. And we also want to let you know about the first Salem Veg Fest coming up Saturday, June 8th at Pringle Park Community Hall on Church Street in Salem. It's free and packed with great speakers, cooking demos, and more. Check it out at cherrycityvegfest.org. You can listen to the podcast of this program on KBOO.fm. Starting next month, Voices for the Animals will air at 10 a.m. instead of 11:30 a.m. on the fourth Friday of the month.